Hi, Wine Lusters, and in this episode, we're off to Emilia Romagna and Cinque Terre. Welcome to the Wine Lust Podcast. My name's Janine, and my real passion is travel, and my bucket list is to visit every wine region in the world. In this series, we're heading off from Australia and heading to Bella Italia. I'm speaking to wine experts living in Italy, and we'll share my travel tips on visiting wine regions. So pour yourself a glass and let's go exploring. In my research, Emilia Romagna kept popping up as a real foodie place of Italy. So I put it forward to my friend Susie that we definitely needed to spend a few days here. And we're so glad we did. This is probably one of the busier parts of our trip, but we packed heaps in, as you'll hear. We then headed over to Cinque Terre, which is sort of the next little region across by the beach, very famous, and we relaxed for a few days. But even though we relaxed, there is some wine experiences to do there as well. I hope you enjoy our chat of our experiences in these two regions. Thank you for joining me again, Susie. And this time we are going to talk about our time in Emilia Romagna, which the most famous town in that region is Bologna, and also probably Modena, because that's where the famous chef from The Chef's Table, that Massimo Bottura, has his restaurant. This was probably a place that wasn't immediately on your radar, do you think? Would that be fair to say?
I'd never even heard of the region at all. And you were the one that really introduced me to that area being the food bowl of Italy. And there were some unexpected surprises.
Yeah, so we were considering going to the Massimo Bottura restaurant. And we actually, I put us on a wait list, but we never got off the wait list. But the one thing I didn't realize was that he actually has several restaurants around Modena. So if you want a bit of a taste of his food, then there were other alternatives. And that's what we did. He had collaborated with Ferrari, for one, that's located near the museum, not in the museum, which I had thought, but near the museum. And we had to do a mad bolt from the museum about two blocks and arrive within our 15 minutes reservation time slot. But I'm glad we made it because it was a lovely lunch.
It was really nice. The setting was beautiful outside. Again, really nice wine. The food was excellent. Just a little bit harder to find than what we anticipated. So just make sure you give yourself enough time if you're thinking of doing that. But I would definitely recommend it. The food was amazing.
Yeah, I think that was our highlight was the ragu. Like, we both had ragu. We know that that's a dish of the region, and it was an excellent ragu. And we had it with some Lambrusco, which is the wine of the region, and it was a perfect match.
I agree. It was beautiful. If you're in the area visiting the Ferrari Museum, I would recommend stopping by. Yeah. A great place for lunch.
And we actually went to both of the Ferrari museums. I'm not a massive car person. You do love your cars a bit more than me. But I think that it was like a work of art, those cars. It was amazing. Both of the museums were amazing.
I was surprised. I thought it might be nice to visit one of the museums, but they were both a lot better than I thought they were going to be. Seeing the models from really, really vintage Ferraris right up to the cars driven by Michael Schumacher, that was really great to see. And you were right there. Although you couldn't touch them, I photographed myself with so many Ferraris, it was ridiculous. The other interesting thing to consider, if you really are a car enthusiast, there is an opportunity for you to drive a Ferrari. I don't know how much it costs. We saw quite a few people cruising around the area in their very own personal Ferrari. So that would be a lot of fun.
And I think there's actually Lamborghini and Ducati motorbikes in the region as well. So, yeah, so if you are a car fanatic and you love your food, then this is the region to hit. You actually, Susie, did something very special for me, and you made a reservation at a very, very beautiful restaurant that was our massive degustation extravaganza of our holiday. Can you tell us how you came across this restaurant? Because you found this restaurant, we decided to stay in this little town, which was about 7 kilometres outside of Modena, a little town called Rubiera, which had a nice little historic centre, but outside of that, not as charming perhaps, but we had a car, so the place that we stayed had car parking, so it was very convenient for that. The restaurant was gorgeous. So yeah, tell us about that and how you came across it.
So I looked at, knowing it was famous for food, I did a lot of research and looked at the various restaurants that were there. And there were some amazing restaurants that were really, really expensive and completely mind-blowing experiences. But I decided on Osteria del Viadante. It's a quaint restaurant that was situated in what looked like it was a previous castle. It was very, very authentic Italian, but done with a bit of a modern twist. So there was a degustation menu offered with matching wines. And what was really nice was you got a taste of lots of various dishes, matched perfectly with wines. The service was absolutely impeccable.
Was
What struck me was, Janine, was it the wine list or the menu, that book that was the biggest? What was that, the wine list?
yes, and we did come across a few of those wine lists in Italy, but yeah, it's absolutely massive, so yeah, that was great.
The wine list looked like a set of Encyclopedia Britannicas from the 1980s. It was so heavy and so huge. It was almost overwhelming. But it was a really, really lovely experience to be sitting out on the terrace in what was a former castle with people bringing you amazing dishes after amazing dishes with glasses of wine. I remember commenting on how much I enjoyed one of the glasses, and the very lovely waiter brought back the bottle and gave us another little glass, another little cheeky, which was much appreciated. We walked out of there. I think we actually rolled out of there very, very full and very, very merry.
And we'd spent hours there. Like it wasn't rushed at all. I think we had an 8 p.m. booking, and we probably left like after 11, sort of. So it was a wonderful, wonderful evening. Like you said, the service was beautiful. I just remember the dessert. They brought like a gelato trolley out, so you could have gelato and all the different condiments on top. It was interesting that there was a lot of French wine on offer, but we asked if we could have more Italian wine, and he accommodated with that because that's why we were in Italy. We want to try all those sorts of wines. Yeah, it was fantastic. It was such a great meal. So thank you.
Wow, we both enjoyed it. I got to experience it too. It was worth taking the time to book in a couple of things that you really, really want to do that are really special memories, and that was one of them.
Yeah, and that was our really special meal of the trip. We had lots of good food, but that was like a special meal event of the trip, and that was lovely to factor in. Because it was such a foodie area, outside of the Ferrari cars, we spent a day doing all the foodie stuff in the area. So we started off with Reggio Parmigiana cheese tasting tour. It was fascinating to be in a room that was worth 8 million euros worth of cheese. And it was on a farm, so it was a bit, it was a rustic experience, but gosh, it was interesting. What do you think, Susie?
It was a little different to what I thought it might be. It was a good overall experiences. I did learn a little bit too much about some of the things that happened with animals. But what blew me away was walking into the room and seeing those cheese wheels. It was mind-blowing. And the great thing was they talked us through the process. They talked us through what a not so good cheese wheel looked like, the things to look out for in terms of the sound, the texture. It was really quite fascinating. But we walked through their production process as well. So we saw the cheese being made at various stages, when it was being boiled, where the cheese was washed, actually seeing the stages that cheese goes through to end up with this beautiful finished wheel. And there was so much Parmesan cheese. It was fun. It was just fun.
Then we went on to a balsamic vinegar tasting tour. That was fascinating to me. I knew nothing about how balsamic vinegar was made, and they talked about, because it comes from grapes as well, and it's been put in barrels like red wine is, but just that they have these battery of barrels, and has like a medium-sized barrel and then all the way down to a little barrel, and then they sort of transfer them across like over the years. I thought that was just so interesting.
I had no idea how complicated it was to make really good balsamic vinegar. It has changed my mind about the type of vinegar I buy and also what I do with it. The great thing was we had an opportunity to taste 100-year-old balsamic. It was absolutely incredible. The flavor was like nothing else I've had. It was really, really beautiful. And there was a gift shop at the end. But it's definitely given me an appreciation of the complexities of balsamic vinegar that I did not have any idea about. That tour was really, really worthwhile.
Yeah, I thought so too. We also, of course, hit up a winery because that's what you have to do. So we visited one called Vittorio Moretto to try some Lambrusco. And the young guy that's there, he's a part of the family. He'd actually lived in Australia. So he was lovely to talk to. And we learned so much about Lambrusco and about how the whole Emilia-Romagna area is broken up into different parts for different Lambruscos.
Yeah, it is different areas for different types of Lambrusco, I'm sure.
Lambrusco in Australia, I think, has a terrible reputation. I think it's on the mend a bit, and I did taste a great Aussie one from Pizzini not so long ago. The ones over there, it really opened my eyes up, and I'm a huge fan now. Like dark red, bit of a frizzante, but dry. And I think with those cheeses and the ragu and that, it just matched really, really well.
I was pleasantly surprised with the Lambrusco. To hear the winemaker and his family talk about generations of looking after the grapes, it was quite humbling, really. It was that family tradition that had been passed down, and the wine was surprisingly lovely. I would definitely drink it now.
So we only spent a couple of days there, but we packed a lot into that. I think this was probably the busiest part of our holiday because we really wanted to do all the foodie stuff and see a bit of Ferrari. And we also popped by the Pavarotti Museum because he's a boy from Modena.
Yeah, that was fun. And again, another unexpected stop along the way.
After here, we then entered our sort of more relaxing part of our holiday and we spent a couple of days in Cinque Terre. And obviously, this is a really, really famous area. It's on the itinerary of lots and lots of people because it's the beach and the beautiful scenery. We spent a lot of time at the beach club. We had 3 days and we spent 2 of those days at the beach club where we just relaxed on a sunbed under an umbrella, went to the bar. But one unexpected thing was that all those hills are full of vineyards, which I hadn't realized. Did you know that, Susie, before we went?
No, I imagine they would be full of buildings piled on top of each other. It's, I guess, the picture I had in my mind. So it was nice to see grapes.
But a lot more greenery and foliage in that. Like the towns are very condensed into those little port areas and then just the beautiful vineyards behind. So we booked a wine tasting through Vallarta at a wine bar called Apiè di Campu in Manarola. And that was really great, wasn't it? So many different varieties there than we had tasted in other parts of Italy.
Again, another surprise. The wine tasting was fantastic. She was a really knowledgeable lady. Took us out to the vineyard.
There's a monorail
That
that goes all around the vineyards, but the pickers still have to manually get up there, like climb up there or walk up there. Then they can pile all the grapes into a basket.
Yeah, that would be a very, very hard job to have. Tough conditions on such steep slopes.
But it was good to see. It was really interesting.
And again, another sort of surprise wine area that was great. If you're in the area, definitely worth doing something a bit different.
Well, I think that will sum up those two regions, Susie. Thank you very much for your time.
No problem. Thank you. Lovely to chat to you and relive those great memories.
That's
Thanks,
right.
Janine.
Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe now to get each episode as they drop. You can also check out this podcast on YouTube and see pictures of the region and the people I've spoken to. Go to winederlust.com.au, that's winederlust.com.au for everything discussed today. You can also subscribe to my newsletter to hear all about my upcoming events and other news. Till next time, happy wine travels.